Welcome to The Stream. I'm Heidi Jo Castro. Too often, we see insects as irritating pests, but scientists say bugs are declining in number around the world, and that has severe ramifications for humans. Today, we look at why so many insect species are at risk and what can be done to protect them. Scott Hoffman Black is executive director of the Xerces Society and sent us this comment about this emergency.
We are seeing unprecedented declines in insect populations from around the world. These declines are from all insect types, our pollinators that pollinate our crops, to the aquatic insects that feed our fish, and other insects that feed birds and bats and provide innumerable services that we need on this planet. This is a crisis, and we must take action soon to address these issues.
Joining us today, Erica McAllister is an entomologist and senior curator at the Natural History Museum in London. Dave Goulson is a professor of biology at the University of Sussex and also founder of the Bumblebee Conservation Trust. He is near the town of Uckfield in East Sussex. And Eliza Grames is a biology researcher at the University of Nevada. She joins us from Dallas, Texas. And of course, you can be part of this conversation. Please send us any comments or questions via our live YouTube chat. Thank you to our guests so much for joining us for this important discussion. First, establishing what this concern is. The best guess from most scientists is that the rate of global insect decline is currently 1 to 2% a year. Now, to the average person, that may not sound quite like a crisis, but Erica, why is it that many scientists would say this is an emergency?
There's quite a lot of reasons. One of them is that this figure is actually from a very short period of time. I think David would be able to tell you more about this. Dave. But what it is important is that our planet is dominated by insects. So 80% of the described fauna, that is described fauna, is insects. Uh-huh. So when we start losing these, we are losing essential parts to our ecosystem. So everyone's now very much aware of the pollinators, and that's really important. But the recyclers, the decomposers, all of these, we start getting rid of these at an unprecedented rate. We don't know how long our ecosystems can function in a healthy way.
Yeah, and that 1 to 2% a year figure, that's a compounding rate, isn't it? So it does get worse with each passing year. Our next question actually comes from a YouTube watcher. Are there particular countries or regions most at risk? I want to ask Eliza.
Yeah, so one of the issues that we have with understanding insect decline is that a lot of the data sets that we have to be able to estimate those rates of 1 to 2% per year come from North America and Europe, where we have monitoring schemes going back to, you know, the 1960s, 1970s. Yeah. But most of the insect biodiversity is in the tropics, where we don't have as good of monitoring data historically. And so we have a lot of concerns that there's potential for huge loss of biodiversity in tropical ecosystems, but we don't have the monitoring data to understand that. And even with those estimated rates of 1 to 2% per year, that's usually coming from the best possible habitats, because when you want to have a multiple decades of data, you know, 50 years or longer to estimate a trend, you're going to go to habitats that are going to remain intact for a long period of time, as opposed to areas that might be converted from natural lands to more modified systems. And so there's kind of a conflict between where we have data from and where we're most concerned, but certainly regions with really high insect diversity are of concern.
Yeah, well let's look at yes, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's worth remembering that the data we have tends to be quite recent. We've only started counting insects. The very earliest butterflies we started counting in the 1970s. And this rate of 1 to 2%, it doesn't sound like much, but when you think that probably these declines started much earlier than the 1970s, the drivers of insect decline certainly started perhaps in the 1940s, perhaps earlier than that. So 1 to 2% a year after 80 years suddenly turns into a really big number.
Yeah, it does. And it's spreading to many groups. Let's look at some of those groups. We have bees, beetles, butterflies, and moths, freshwater insects, they are all under threat. So we are not just talking about bumblebees anymore, are we, Dave?
No, sadly not. I mean, bumblebees are my speciality. I guess that's why you mentioned them. I've spent 30 years chasing around after them. And they're really important, but we shouldn't get all focused on bees. Bees are great. They are really important as pollinators, but Erica would be the first to tell you that there are lots of other insects doing important things. And in their own way, they're just as valuable, just as vital to us.
Absolutely. Let's actually talk about another one of those insects that has recently gained more attention, the monarch butterfly. In March, the World Wildlife Fund said that their numbers dropped 22% in a year in their wintering habitat. Our reporter, Manny Rapolo, went there to see for himself.
It's one of the most spectacular mass migrations in the animal kingdom. Monarch butterflies, millions of them, arriving at their winter habitat in central Mexico. This year, the International Union for the Conservation of Nature officially designated the migrating monarch butterfly as endangered. Experts say the use of pesticides, along with a loss of habitat, are the biggest threats to the species. Increased forest fires and unusual weather patterns linked to climate change have also been linked to their decline. This means protected forests like El Rosario, the largest butterfly sanctuary in central Mexico, are of vital importance.
Eliza, I want to get back to some of the causes and also the consequences a little bit later. But for now, something that Erica said earlier, that there are potentially millions of species that are undescribed or, for the layperson, undiscovered. So is it troublesome that we may be losing species faster than we can even know they exist?
Yeah, absolutely. There's an estimated, I think it's 5.5 million is our best estimate right now of how many insect species there are, which it's kind of an astronomical number. To put it in context, there's about 10,000 bird species. So we're talking, orders of magnitude more insect species. But we've only described 1.5 million of them. So, there's potentially 4 million species that could go extinct before they're even described by Western science. And so that's a huge concern that we don't even know really what we're dealing with in some situations.
Yeah. But, people have been noticing the decline of insects in some unexpected ways, like finding fewer dead bugs splattered on their cars after long drives. And there's actual data on this. In the UK, the Kent Wildlife Trust has an app that allows people to track the number of bugs found splattered on their license plates using this very scientifically named splatometer grid. And I think there are a lot of people contributing, and all the fun aside, though, the results have been worrisome because the amount of bug splatter declined by 72% between 2004 and 2021, and the study is ongoing. Erica, are we seeing this evidence of the insect decline in everyday life for humans?
Yeah, Well, I do because I study insects.
Of course.
So I'm seeing a massive loss of them everywhere.
Yeah.
And and this is going to have a severe impact onto our crops. So this is the one thing that directly impacts on us, the food.
Yeah.
You talk about the monarch migration. Every spring in the UK, 4 billion hoverflies turn up. 4 billion.
Wow.
So when we start seeing adverse effects due to maybe fires or other impacts of climate change or pesticides and agroforestry impacting on their migratory routes, we're going to suddenly see that our crops have not only not got the pollinators, but a lot of these hoverflies, their larvae, consume the pests. So they're very, very important in that sort of way. So we're going to have a direct impact on the quality of our food.
Yeah, I have read that the vast majority of human crops are pollinated by insects. And I want to bring up a picture that's on my laptop. Parts of rural China have been dealing with this problem for a while, the loss of pollinators. So this article from Huffington Post is about Hanyuan County, known as the world's pear capital, and it experienced a drastic reduction in the bee population due to pesticide use. That leaves humans, like this man and this woman, trying to fill in on that position of pollinator by using brushes and feathers to do the job. And in another example, people now flying drones as pollinators. Dave, I imagine that while very innovative, these solutions are probably not so efficient nor sustainable.
No, it does seem really sad that we've come to this state where we're thinking about replacing bees with robot drones, doesn't it? I don't want to live in that world, if I'm honest. And when you think about it, I mean, bees have been pollinating flowers for 120 million years or thereabouts. They're really good at it. They're biodegradable, they're self-replicating, they're carbon neutral. They seem to have kind of all the properties you'd want of a pollinator. Do we really think we could do better? And you think of the energy, the plastics, the metals, the all the materials it would need to build. We would need to build trillions of robots to wow. replace the insects. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, I think it's an absolutely bonkers idea myself.
Yeah, and there was a study from Harvard School of Public Health that found already the global decline in bees and other pollinators is stunting the yields of fruits and vegetables and nuts down by 3 to 5% a year. So this certainly is impacting the human food supply. But I want to talk about the food chain as well in greater detail. Of course...
Can I just add one final
yes,
thing
please,
about
Erica.
The pollinators? Well, so these a lot of these crops, the thing why it's not just bees, it's loads of diversity, is the plants themselves have a huge amount of diversity. Mm-hmm. So, for example, chocolate, which most of the world craves, is pollinated by about 25 species, of which 23 of those are the tiny midges. The Americans call them no-see-ums. You know, they're really, really hard. Can you imagine trying to create a drone for that?
Impossible.
And it's the idea of you suddenly not having the pollinators for the world's most favorite crop seems ridiculous.
Then people will surely wake up if they are denied their chocolate. But I want to talk about this food chain because, of course, we're not the only species on this planet. And basically every other living animal is going to depend on insects. Here's another picture on my computer. This is from Reuters, and it shows you pretty obviously that insects are forming the foundation of the food chain. Eliza, what happens to all these animals if they no longer have insects to eat?
Yeah, there's a big concern there, especially with, for example, birds. With insectivorous birds, we're seeing them decline at rates much steeper than birds that rely on other food sources such as seeds or grains. And this is across like songbirds, about 90 to 96% of songbirds, I think, rely on insects, at least for some part of their annual cycle, especially for supplying protein for chick rearing. And there's also all sorts of other birds that people don't often think of as eating insects, but that really rely on them. I mean, hummingbirds need insects to be able to raise chicks. And we're seeing declines across species that rely on insects, especially like the American kestrel. It's a raptor that specializes on insects. And while other raptors are increasing as a result of sort of legislation that banned DDT and has allowed for some raptors to rebound, we're still seeing declines with kestrels because they're losing the food source. And of course, it's not just birds. It's bats and reptiles and all sorts of other animals that rely on insects. And so, insect decline isn't just about insects. It's really about biodiversity loss as a whole.
Yes, it's about the entire earth. So that brings us to this big question. I'll pose it to you, Dave. What is behind this decline of insects?
There are many drivers, sadly. So habitat loss globally, which is still ongoing. We're still chopping down rainforests and replacing them with soybean fields and cattle ranches. The spread of intensive farming and the associated heavy pesticide use is a really big issue. We manufacture about 4 million tons of pesticides every year. Many of them are insecticides designed to kill insects. So we shouldn't be entirely surprised that insects are declining.
Yeah.
But then there are other issues too. Climate change is starting to kick in and particularly affecting my bumblebees. They overheat. Light pollution affects nocturnal insects, and then we've got problems with invasive species and so on and so on. And it's the combination of these things that's the real problem. You know, insects are pretty tough. They've been around for 480 million years. That's twice as long as the oldest dinosaurs.
Wow.
And they survived all the mass extinction events that went before.
Yeah.
But now they're in trouble, and it's entirely down to us.
Wow. Can they survive us? That's the question. Erica, is there such a thing as a point of no return when enough insects die that we do see a collapse of the entire ecosystem?
I don't think the insects will suffer in the long term. As with all the mass extinction events that have gone before, when the driver of that extinction event has gone, the other populations bounce back. We are the driver. I think the mammals, the vertebrates, are the ones who are really, truly going to suffer in this. We are the ones causing this extinction. We will run out of food. We will run out of things long before all the insects die out.
That is really putting things in perspective in a very concerning way. Let's talk about what can be done potentially to prevent that from happening. Let's hear from Vicky Hurd, the author of Rebugging the Planet, who sent us this comment from London.
We've got to stop the intensive farming systems, the chemicals, the climate change, the habitat destruction that is doing this. Otherwise, we won't be able to feed ourselves. So let's get real and get acting to protect the insects.
There are some governments around the world who are taking action. Eliza, can you point out some of the good examples?
Several years ago, there was a study that came out of Germany that was showing this 75% decline in flying insect biomass, and the German government responded very quickly and put, you know, millions of dollars of funding into studying insect decline and understanding the causes and working on conservation. And that was a really huge step for, you know, getting the global community energized about addressing this issue. And it would be great if there were more countries following suit.
Yeah. Erica, you recently just testified before the UK Parliament Select Committee on Insects. What was your message to them?
Oh, well, actually, both Dave and I did as well. Mm. So our message was that there's a lot that needs doing, but there's also a lot of information already out there, and a lot of the community, the wider community, especially in the UK, who themselves are doing so much. In terms of recording, in terms of understanding the behaviour, in terms of looking at the ecology, knowing about the insects. And we need to garner all of this information together and make it accessible in a distributed network so everyone can globally access all of this information.
Mm. I wanted to talk too about this. Of course, climate change is impacting all species. And even in this general decline of insects, there are winners as well. There are mostly losers, but there are some winners. And that includes, unfortunately, mosquitoes who thrive in warm and wet climates. And there have been numbers on how mosquito-borne viruses like dengue and malaria cases in humans have risen as the mosquito population in the Solomon Islands, for example, has risen. Dave, how is this phenomenon imperiling human health?
Yeah, there are some insects that are really tough and adaptable, sort of tend to be pest insects, insects that thrive in man-made conditions, things like houseflies and cockroaches and mosquitoes and so on. They breed really fast. They become resistant to pesticides very quickly. And they're benefiting from a warming climate. So there's a kind of irony that the majority of insects, including all the ones we love and which are really important, beneficial insects, tend to be declining. The ones we're not so fond of, the ones that give us diseases and so on, tend to be the ones that are increasing. So there's this kind of double whammy, I guess.
Mm. Well, I want to talk more about what people can do. The internationally renowned Chelsea Flower Show in London featured a wild garden in May. Let's hear from the garden's designer about why this could be a model for gardeners everywhere.
I think I'm asking people to maybe look at weeds in a different way and try and be more tolerant of them because they're very good for wildlife and biodiversity. And we're at a very critical stage in our history. Biodiversity loss or biodiversity collapse is a very real threat.
Eliza, is it that as simple as that? Just let things grow and we can put a dent in solving this problem.
Yeah, I would say it's not as simple as that, but that is certainly one part of the solution. I mean, tons of land in the United States and in Europe is dedicated to lawns. And if we can diversify those lawns, plant native flowers, native vegetation, that serves as really critical host plants and food resources for insects that we care about and that we want to attract around our homes as opposed to the pests. And so, you know, it's one thing that can be done, and it's, you know, no windowsill is too small to add a a small garden plot to be able to provide some stopover habitat or necessary habitat for insects. So, you know, it's part of the solution, but there also needs to be action at a much broader scale and, you know, international cooperation and policy.
Yeah.
If I could just jump in, it is one of the good things here is that pretty much everyone can get involved. You know, a lot of conservation issues, people feel helpless, rainforests being cut down or whatever. But with insect declines, if you've got a backyard, if you've got even a window box, grow some insect-friendly plants, don't spray them with any pesticides. And it's amazing that bees will sniff them out even in the middle of a city. Mm. And at least you're doing something to help.
Yeah, there's another... go ahead.
I would add further that we forget, because insects have this larval stage, this juvenile stage. So as well as doing the plants, just put out some water, have a pond, something like that to encourage in. Have a bit of... messy is nature. Nature heads towards messy. Thank goodness it's how I do my gardening, i.e. I don't. And nature loves it, and we can all just be a bit more relaxed about it. And we would have amazing
We need
reward.
To rewild our minds, I think, just to learn to be a little more gentle with our planet.
Yeah. What about this cute idea? It comes from Costa Rica. Bee hotels, a place to allow solitary wild bees a safe place to call home. Here's a sample of that.
Bees that benefit from this type of structure, like bee hotels, are lonely species, and they are the majority. There are between 600 and 700 bee species in Costa Rica, and about 80 or 90% of them are lonely. It means that each female makes her own nest. They do not live in colonies. I would say that the most important risk is the loss of habitat. Urbanization and agriculture reduce resources. Flowers are nesting places. In addition, nowadays, pesticides are affecting bees a lot.
All right, in the final 2 minutes of our show, I want to give you guys an opportunity to win over any naysayers among our viewers who might still be watching and just not believing that insects are worth saving. There's just such a bias against them among us egocentric humans, I think. So, Erica, why are insects so incredible to you? Why should we save them?
I think we've also got to remember that insects are incredibly beautiful. And they're wondrous creatures, and they have these amazing lives. You do not have to go far to see a creature flying in front of your eyes, a creature that is however many times smaller than you, that is still functioning and feeding and flirting and doing all those fun stuff that all the other animals are doing, but on a small scale with so many interactions just in your garden. Just go and have a look.
Yeah, incredible. Dave?
Yeah, I mean, insects have been around for a very long time, much longer than us. And I think even whether or not they're useful, all of them deserve a place to live and deserve our respect. But if that doesn't win you over, then we mentioned chocolate earlier as being dependent on insect pollinators.
You can win most people over with chocolate.
Coffee is also.
Yes.
And yeah, well, we wouldn't have coffee either, so it would be,
a terrible world.
Pretty unpleasant.
Any advice, or Eliza, any words of how much you admire insects and why we should too?
Yeah, I think insects are absolutely incredible. Just the number of things that they do that we don't even notice. You know, we take insects for granted so often because they perform so many ecosystem services and are so essential to ecosystem function that you don't really notice that they're gone until they're no longer filling those roles and serving as pollinators and pests and decomposing the soil. And then when they go away, you start to notice. And so I think that kind of speaks volumes to how important they are to the ecosystem, not only to humans in terms of ecosystem services, but also other taxa that rely on them. And so, you know, conserving insects is really about conserving all of biodiversity.
And I think the message certainly is spreading, because there has been movements to save bees, to save insects. We have another comment from a YouTube watcher saying, I'm trying to grow a little pollinator garden in the backyard. I'm not allowed to have a beehive here. But certainly, pollinator gardens, beautiful, and may just rescue these incredible critters. That's all for today, but thank you, and thank you to our guests. Our viewers can always find us at aljazeera.com.